Paul from AMS with us on the Big FM 93.7.
We are having an inventory clearance sale. And we've had some people come in and take excellent advantage of that. And we've got lots and lots of really good equipment left, too.
So your location?
Right near the corner of PD and Verona Road on the southwest side of Madison. You can call us at 608-274-7400, amsmadison.com, or you can even like us on Facebook.
Sounds great. Paul from AMS. And we're back on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. Joining us now, Jim Palmer from the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. Jim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Thank you for having me on, Sly.
Well, so when I set this interview up, we were going to talk about the survey that you had done to see police officers standing in Wisconsin, and we will talk about that, but I want to ask you a little bit about the crazy weekend that took place, and it's always a reminder of what a dangerous job it is to be a police officer, not only in Wausau, but what happened on the interstate.
Yeah, that's right. As you know, Fly, we're the state's largest law enforcement group, and so we routinely respond anytime there's an officer involved shooting anywhere in the state. We dispatch our field staff and our legal staff to assist the officers and assist in the investigation that must occur anytime, these sensitive situations take place. And we did have a busy weekend. Law enforcement obviously had a busier weekend. We had an officer involved, a fatal officer involved shooting up in Wausau. And then there was the high-profile shooting in this area on I-39 just south of the Dane County border. The second one, as I believe has been well reported already, involved multiple agencies, and we were representing several of the individuals involved.
So in these instances, the first thing that obviously takes place is an officer is put on leave, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And in these situations, officers, before they talk to... they deconstruct a scene like this, are you there representing them before that scene is deconstructed, or what's the protocol on that?
Yeah, most of the time we are. In fact, we actually were contacted from the scene yesterday within 15 minutes of the shooting on I-39, and we dispatched staff, field staff and legal staff immediately. That's correct. The protocol is that, the officers involved may give what's referred to as a public safety statement, which is the information that they provide to the to their agency regarding, general information. And that is so that the agencies and law enforcement can determine whether or not there's a continuing threat to the public. So usually that will take place immediately. But before the officers... give any statements to investigators. We do meet with them. We want to check on their well-being, and we want to assist in their voluntary cooperation to the fullest extent we can.
Even in cases that are not as controversial, where there's not either racial implications or serious questions about whether an officer should use force, officers pay a pretty serious price when they're involved in a shooting like this. It takes its toll.
That it is, truer words have probably never been said. It is, it impacts officers, differently. Officers in the days and weeks and months, and in many cases even the years that follow a situation like this, even if it's a non-fatal shooting, they go through a range of emotions. And, even though yesterday's shooting, was not, fatal, it doesn't sound like, you still have people that an individual that sustained some injuries, and that's law enforcement officers, even though they're trained for this type of event, and they do see a wide variety of images and events that it can be troubling. They're still human, and they still have a very human reaction, and that's something we try to assist with them. In addition to we want to make sure we're looking out for their emotional and psychological well-being, in addition to assisting them in their voluntary cooperation with the investigation that has to occur.
Yep, a lot of people have the TV version of Cops, where Walker Texas Ranger would shoot somebody in each episode, get back up, and everything would be fine.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's obviously, as you well know, it does not mirror the reality. And you know, as you also know, Wisconsin, since 2014, has a law that mandates an independent and transparent investigation. We're one of only three states in the nation that currently has that. We were the first in the nation to have that. And so that, too, does, because of the thoroughness of the investigations that now occur, because of the public interest, that process does take longer. And any officer involved in the situation, whether it's fatal or non-fatal, is going to be on administrative leave for probably a period of a couple months at a minimum.
And the other thing, obviously, that has happened recently, and I don't think it was any of your members, but the high-profile chase that was called off, but then the suspect eventually ended hitting a couple girls in Middleton. High-speed chases are also a very stressful thing for officers.
They are, and we do respond to those as well. We did respond to that one, that case as well, just within here the last 2 weeks. I think it ended in Middleton, as I recall. Anytime there's a critical incident, whether it's any kind of use of force, use of a taser, we represent a lot of jail deputies, so if there's an attempted suicide or a suicide by an inmate, we respond to those. As much as we might like or prefer that those events occur between the hours of 9 to 5, that just doesn't mirror reality. And so our field staff and legal staff, including myself, have to be available on a 24/7 basis because these events tend to take place in the middle of the night.
Jim Palmer, the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, with us on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. Why did you decide to conduct a study about Wisconsinites' perception of police officers?
Well, this is actually the fourth year that we've been doing a poll, as you know. And you know, it's something that we started when we started 4 years ago. We really wanted to make sure that we as an organization, as the state's largest law enforcement group that represents the vast majority of officers in the state, that we're being sensitive to the views of the people that our members serve. We have asked them a variety of questions over the years, law enforcement-related questions, how they feel about officers and in their community, and how they feel about use of force, how they feel about issues like body cameras. We actually, 2 years ago, in our 2014 poll, asked specifically how people felt about the proposal to mandate independent investigations of any officer-related death. And the results were so overwhelming, we were already supportive of that legislation, but we used those poll results to help persuade legislators in the waning days of that 2013-2014 legislative session to make that to pass that and establish that as law. So really, it was a way for us to make sure that we're doing everything we can to have the pulse of the people that we serve. And it's worth noting, Sly, that as near as we can tell, the WPPA is the only police group anywhere in the country that conducts polling of this kind. We think it's important, and we really try to use this poll and its results as a platform to continue the dialogue on these sensitive issues of policing. We have an event that's controversial, for example, and there will be some heightened discourse in that community or in the state or even in the country for some period of time, but as the media attention fades, attention to maintain that dialogue dissipates as well. And so we're trying to use this, and I think we've had some success, in using this poll as a platform to talk about these issues on a more continuous basis.
All right, so overall, people had a pretty positive view of police in Wisconsin.
They do, we ask that question every year because we think it matters, but we, to be perfectly honest, we do include that question with some amount of trepidation, because I think everybody has an appreciation for the narratives that they see on a regular basis in the national media. And we've been very pleased that each and every year, the approval rating of Wisconsinites, by Wisconsinites of law enforcement officers here, has continued to improve. And that it really stands in stark contrast.
It's getting better?
It is getting better. Not only do Wisconsinites think very highly and they provide law enforcement officers here with a job approval rating of in excess of 80%, but time and time again they rank keeping the community safe and public safety as the most important public local government priority. And we think those are really interesting, not only because they are positive, but because they stand in pretty stark contrast to what we see on the national level. Gallup has been conducting a similar poll for many, many years, and their last poll on this was in June of 2015, and it showed that the American public's confidence in the police has fallen to a 22-year low. So we think that the approval rating of officers here in the state reflects largely on the professionalism that they exemplify each and every day, whether it's this weekend or any other weekend, but also hopefully it's somewhat of a reflection of our efforts to be responsible, law enforcement advocates, be sensitive to the people that our members serve, and be agents of change and improve the system where we can.
Is there a geographical or demographic spot where it isn't as high that explains the 20% that doesn't approve?
Absolutely, and we really this year tried to drill down on that in the poll. We engage the St. Norbert Strategic Research Institute, mm-hmm. And because we want this done scientifically, we want reliable results, scientifically reliable results, and we really wanted to drill down and better understand that. I think some people, whether they're in law enforcement or the general public, they see some of these things on the news and on television, whether it's advocates of minority groups or what have you, and I think there's an inclination on the part of some to dismiss that. And we really wanted to better understand that. And in fact, according to our poll, 83% of Caucasians approve of law enforcement officers in this state. But with minorities, it's still over 50% to 59%, but that's a significant disparity. And I think, first and foremost, we have to, in order to maintain a responsible dialogue, we have to acknowledge that. And once we do that, then we can really set about, hopefully in a collective way, to address it and how to bridge that gap.
What about age groups?
Age groups, older Wisconsinites tend to have a higher view, mm-hmm. More favorable view of law enforcement officers than younger individuals. And that's been pretty consistent now that we've had this, we've drilled down and had this information reported by St. Norbert's on a historical basis. So clearly older individuals do have a higher view, and also those individuals that live in smaller communities tend to have a more favorable view than those that live in an urban setting.
That's understandable. All right, we'll talk more with Jim Palmer with the Wisconsin Professional Police Association on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. You're driving home with Sly on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380. My friend and comrade here in standing up for workers and especially police officers, Jim Palmer, with us. He's with the WPPA. How many years have you been with this organization now, Jim?
Oh, good grief. I have been with the WPPA since 2003. It has been a wild ride since then, and I've had the ability, sometimes the unfortunate ability, to see a wide variety of things take place. But I've been proud to represent the dedicated men and women of our law enforcement community, and not only protect them in the wake of a high-profile use of force incident, but also doing whatever we can to in protect their working conditions and protect their wages. Because if those suffer, we believe public safety suffers, and the two are intrinsically linked.
All right, we'll get back to the study in just a second. I want to ask you about what happened at the University of Wisconsin. Do you represent the UW police?
We do not. We represent nearly 10,000 officers from almost 300 local association affiliates. They're predominantly state local. Just local, so town, village, city. We do also represent the Marquette University police officers as well as the state capitol police, but we do not represent the State Patrol or the UW officers.
I have to ask you, as an observer, and I'm sure you saw what happened with the, and it's kind of instructive for everyone, what happened at the University of Wisconsin. I am truly baffled at the way police officers were thrown under the bus in that situation. Officers had been looking for the suspect for a couple weeks. They finally find him in the classroom politely, and here, you know, this is all recorded, politely ask him to step out of class for a minute so they can talk to him and ask him if he was responsible for the criminal damage to property. And you would think that those officers were Bull Connor in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963, Jim. When I see students marching and screaming that they didn't feel safe in their classroom, I am truly perplexed.
It is befuddling, to say the least. And you know, as you noted, just imagine how much worse it would have been had there not been body camera footage. As you may recall, in the immediate wake of that incident, I think it was the professor of that particular class and several students. It had been reported that they had made statements about things that the officer said. For example, we read that I believe someone said that the officer told the individual they arrested that, well, you've sent your message, now we're going to send ours. And things of that nature that are really volatile kinds of statements. And, as we saw with the body camera footage that was released, video footage that was released a few days later, absolutely none of that occurred. And the officers could not have been more professional. And they did their jobs exceedingly well. And, to the individual, the credit of the individual who was arrested, he was also acted, I thought, in a respectful fashion, and perhaps in part because of the presence of a body camera. But regardless, I think he respected the officer's authority.
Well, I guess I'm just I'm baffled. I've always had a high regard for Chief Risling and the work that she does, and she's always been very open to coming on my show. And in this case, she did not, and. The sort of mollifying, I guess would be the best word to use, of the students that were complaining, talking about that they had been somehow aggrieved, it's really troubling to me because, being a cop isn't easy. But if chiefs or sheriffs or whoever it happens to be don't have their officers back in a case as benign as that one, I don't know. I think we've got problems coming, and I'm just wondering if you see problems on the horizon.
Well, I recognize that Chief Risling has it's a difficult and delicate balancing act. Now, obviously, it's one with which we can identify very, very closely. Thinking of the tragic death of Tony Robinson, for example. I mean, it can be a tall order to balance the responsibility to be an advocate for your officers, or in our case, for our members, and also at the same time be sensitive to the views of the individuals that are being served by those officers. And I don't know, and I won't cast any judgment on whether or not she did or didn't do that. I think clearly some people have made the case that she didn't. I think it's pretty clear that the public can decide for themselves by the virtue of the body camera footage. If they take the time and look at that, and as many people have, they will see that these officers acted in a very professional manner, and they did a good job.
Does the public have an understanding of the? I don't know if your survey included use of force, but does the public have an understanding of the use of force requirements?
I think generally they probably do not. Although I think that is something that is improving. You have groups like at the UW Law School. Stan Davis, for example, worked with a group that issued a video right before District Attorney Ozan released his determination on the Tony Robinson case last year. And you had students there talking about the use of force, the legal requirement. So I think there's a lot of there are a lot of misconceptions surrounding that, and whether it's fostered by what people see in the media or in television or what have you. But I do think it presents an opportunity for groups, whether groups like ours, frankly, to talk about that and engage people and talk about why tasers are used in one instance and not in another. And I think that is a dynamic that is improving, but I'm sure we have a long way to go. As far as our poll, we did ask about what people's perceptions of, officer-involved shootings. Did they think that, a majority of those shot by officers in Wisconsin were minorities? And most people did not, although it is, notable that 44% of minorities in our poll do think that a majority of officers... it's 44% of minorities think that officers are shooting unarmed individuals, which is the other issue that we asked about. And that's simply not true, both in our numbers and those compiled by the Washington Post, which is really the only national database of officer-involved shootings that began last year. It revealed that in Wisconsin, 91% of the individuals shot by officers were armed, in fact. And, the Tony Robinson case, again, provided us with an opportunity last year to talk about how, even though an individual is unarmed, they can absolutely pose a deadly threat. And so the misconceptions, they are what they are, and we try to, at least take advantage of those to the extent that it allows us to have a foster a dialogue and trying to improve people's understanding of those of these sensitive issues.
After everything that happened in the Tony Robinson case, and I know it's not scientific, but I saw the polls about whether Ishozan had made the proper decision. And this is Madison, and I think they usually, when I see their polls, they usually feel like they fit the community pretty well politically, especially if they put a Scott Walker poll up. You can kind of get a sense of that it is Madison and Dane County. People were overwhelmingly supportive of his decision not to charge the officer. Was it gratifying after all the coverage that case received that Madison generally supported police officers? It seems as though residents support police officers sometimes better than politicians.
Yeah, that it does seem that way, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
I think it's important to note why that's likely the case. Because we have a law that mandates not only an independent investigation, but a transparent one, so that when a district attorney makes a decision, as Mr. Ozan did, all the investigative documents become publicly available. That is an extraordinary check, if you will, on his assessment. And because all that information is made publicly and widely available, that's, I think, really helps foster that view and how people, I think, have largely come around to understanding that in particular tragedy much better. One thing I really would be remiss if I didn't point out, as you may recall, Sly, here locally, the end of 2014 into 2015, there were some advocates, minority groups, who boldly claimed and publicly claimed that minorities did not want law enforcement officers in their neighborhoods. Well, we actually publicly posed that question, and we were curious how that would look, because as you may recall, Chief Koval, I think, did the best job that he could. Madison Police Chief Koval did the best job he could by responding to that, by providing anecdotal evidence that, well, that's not what I'm hearing at community groups when I meet with neighborhood associations. But the fact of the matter is, according to our poll, a vast majority of Caucasians and minorities want more officers in their neighborhoods and in their communities, not less. And to us, that was a striking rebuttal to some of the bold statements that were made within the last year or so. Only 3% of the public, according to our poll, feel that police officers spend too much time in their neighborhoods. And the most startling result, perhaps, on this issue is that our poll shows that 70% of minorities think the police spend too little time in their neighborhoods. We think that's very strong evidence, and again, that supports the anecdotal evidence that Chief Koval and other law enforcement leaders around the state mentioned in response to some of those allegations and assertions that have been made.
Finally, let me ask you, what is the status of legislation that got hung up in the legislature about providing families of police officers who lose their life in the line of duty with the health insurance?
Well, I really appreciate you asking about that. It's been a very important issue to us for the last two legislative sessions, the last 4 years. In each of the last two sessions, that the bill has passed the state Senate on a voice vote, and it has stalled in the state assembly. And and that again occurred most in this most recent session, and it's disappointing. This legislation truly recognizes that, you know, even though a law enforcement officer is the one that wears the badge and straps on a gun and drives around in a squad car and does everything that law enforcement officers do, their service, that officer's service to their community and to their state, is not a solitary endeavor. And it is made possible by the loved ones that support them. And this legislation recognizes that. And it says, you know, if an officer dies in the line of duty, it makes a commitment that we as a state are going to take care of the dependents and those that that officer left behind who made that officer's service possible by making sure that they have health insurance. And this is something that we already provide to firefighters in this state, and this is a long overdue thing that we need for police officers.
Do people need to call? Do people need to call Speaker Voss?
I think they need to call the. I would say Speaker Voss. I would say that, you know, they're legislators in the Assembly. This needs to be. This is an incredibly important issue, and you know, as you may well know, on the national level, the number of last time I looked, which was last week, it may have changed over the weekend. hopefully not worse. The number of officers killed by gunfire in the line of duty is up 113% over the same period last year. And officers are not only under more scrutiny, but many of them feel as though they are under attack. And the least we can do is make sure that we're providing health insurance for the loved ones that an officer leaves behind when they have paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Jim Palmer with the Wisconsin Professional Police Association is with us this half hour on the Big FM 93.7 and the Big AM 1380.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.